We're living in the dream.
Brothers and sisters, this is Mike Kennedy with the Living in Victory broadcast. We're going to start a new series today about temptations and how to escape temptations, where they come from. But we need to establish a foundation. So we will cover things like, whom are we to serve? What is sin? How to overcome temptation? The way out. God provides a way out of every temptation. If you fall in time and time and time again because of desires of the flesh, whether it be eating too much, spending too much, lying, cheating, stealing, fornication, lust, there is a way out. And we're going to go into that in this series. This is part one. If you would, turn with me to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Join your faith with me. Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord. And Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the light, the revelation of your word. Father, I ask you to help me speak your word, your oracles precisely the way you would have me speak them. Open up our eyes, our hearts, our minds to receive, Father. That we be doers of it, walking in victory, living in victory, Father. We praise you for it and thank you for it, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Oh, he is so merciful. Hallelujah. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You present your body. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. We are supposed to present ourselves to God, holy, amen, willing to serve, ready to serve, doing what he wants us to do, abiding in his word, walking in his will, amen. We are called to serve. God created us to serve. We are to serve him. For a couple of reasons. First of all, just because he created us. Secondly, he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. Go to the pits of hell and pay your price for sins and my price. We have been redeemed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus died and paid our penalty. Praise you, Father. We've been redeemed. Glory. It's only reasonable for us to serve him. But my, such a loving God, even though it is right for us to do it, he bought and paid for us to do it. He created us. It's only reasonable that we do serve him. He still gives us a free will. The word says, choose this day whom you will serve. It's up to us. He gives us the choice. Amen. Romans 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world. You know, toleration is the first step to conformity. Where does it stop? If you look at the statues that started being taken down in different parts of our country, it started off with one. Then there are hundreds of them that are taken down. It doesn't change history. History is still true. It's still there whether somebody doesn't like a statue. I'm not saying I agree with all the statues and what they represent and the things people did. But it doesn't change it. Where does it start whenever you say, okay, a little bit of marijuana is okay? And then you get states like Oregon that allowed meth and heroin, increased crime, hurts millions of people, thousands of people, hurts people in their job. People get hurt physically. There's crime increasing. The first step to conformity is toleration. Amen? Don't let the world mold you. Who created the mold of things in this sinful world? Well, God did at first. It was without any sin, but when Adam and Eve sinned, it created an environment where it was a fallen environment because we allowed Satan to be the Lord of this world, the God of this world, in the mold that he wants us to be, that he tries to put in us, because we've all fallen and come short of the glory of God, is a mold that does not honor God. Amen? Paul, when he wrote this, he was talking to Christians in Rome. Christians must change. We must grow up, amen, not conform to the things in this world. We must go through a metamorphosis process, just like a caterpillar becoming a beautiful, beautiful butterfly. We must change. Let's continue on. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How are you transformed? By mind renewal, amen. Transformed is the same Greek word where we get caterpillar to butterfly. It's a radical change. You know, and part of that transforming is based on what you put in your mind, what thoughts you allow to come in. I taught a message a while back on the 8s of Philippians 4:8. You should focus on them, meditate on them. A matter of fact, let's just turn there right now. Philippians 4:8, hallelujah. Not something I was planning on reviewing today, but I've got an unction from the Holy Ghost that this will help somebody. Hallelujah. Philippians 4:8. Hallelujah. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, all 8, meditate on these things. Glory to God. That's what we're supposed to meditate on. And as we meditate on them, we will be transformed by the renewing of our mind according to the word. Hallelujah. My, my, my. It matters what you listen to, what you put in. You know, I was a software engineer for years, and we had garbage in, garbage out. Whatever you take into that computer, whatever inputs you've got, data you put in, that's going to affect the data that comes out. Bad data in will produce bad data results. Amen? Glory to God. That you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Perfect will. We need to find the complete, perfect will of God and do it. Fulfill his will in our lives. Amen. You may be saying, how does this have to do with escaping temptations? I encourage you to stay hooked to this series. We're going to get into that. How we have a way out. If you want to find God's best and have God's best in your life, you must find his will and fulfill his will in your life. Amen. The complete will of God. The Phillips translation. It says in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, with eyes wide open to the mercies of God, I beg you, my brothers, as an act of intelligent worship. Intelligent worship. That means we should not be dumb. Intelligent worship. It's only reasonable. He's our creator. Amen? It's only intelligent to worship him or to serve him, to give your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated, that means set apart to him and acceptable by him. Don't let the world around you squeeze you, pressure you. Pressures in this world try to squeeze you to do things, pressure you to do things. People at work, friends, they will try to pressure you. Come on, it's no big deal. Come with us to that bar. Have one drink with us. It's just one drink. Let's go to the strip club just once. No, your wife doesn't need to know. She won't find out. It's no big deal. You're not being transformed by the renewing of your mind to fulfill the holy, acceptable walk of God. And the enemy is drawing you in with the endeavors to take you down farther and farther to destroy. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. Don't allow it. Amen. Let's back up and continue. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. We already talked about who made that mold. But let God remold your minds from within. from within, not thoughts from outside, from Satan giving you thoughts, not from friends trying to pressure you, thoughts from within. And how do you get them within you, the right thoughts? By mind renewal, by reading the word, amen, going to church, so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good. Reminds me of Jeremiah 29:11. He has plans to prosper you. Hallelujah. It goes on to say, for God, if the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands and moves towards the goal of true maturity. Complete, grown up. Hallelujah. Mm-mm-mm. That is God's plan for us. But so many of us have fallen time and time again into sin. Things that we know we shouldn't do, and we beat ourselves up. We feel convicted over it. The enemy tries to condemn us. Stay awake at night. I did it again. Amen. But there's a way to overcome and live in victory. Galatians 5:13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty or freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. You are serving somebody. You're either serving God or you're serving the things of this world. We are not to serve our flesh, but we are to serve God. You know, through Moses, God set the people, the Hebrews, free so that they could serve him. In Exodus 4:23, it says, let my people go that they may serve me. It says it again in Exodus 7:16, 8:20, Exodus 9:1, Exodus 9:13, Exodus 10:3. God said over and over, let my people go that they may serve me. I am their God. But Pharaoh, he tried to say, I am a God. All the pharaohs tried to act like gods. They taught everybody to treat them like gods, that they were gods. They were not gods. Amen? They're men, prideful men. Who gave them the thought that they were gods? Satan. Remember, he said, I will bring myself up to be just like God. He wanted to be like God. These pharaohs were influenced by satanic situations, evil things, and they wanted to be treated like gods. Exodus 10:24, Pharaoh said, fine, go serve your God, but leave the flocks, leave everything behind. And Exodus 10 verses 8 through 11, Pharaoh said, only the men can go. And Moses came back and said, nope, all my people go and flocks. We're going to have an offering to the Lord, a sweet smelling aroma. We're going to serve him. To serve him, we have to have these things. And Pharaoh pushed back time and time again. It cost him so much, amen, to rebel against people serving God. Hebrews were finally released to go and serve God. They were serving Pharaoh. Remember, I said, you are serving something. You're either serving God or you're serving yourself, your flesh, and evil, evil desires. At this point in time, the Hebrews were serving the Egyptians. They were building roads, infrastructure, working in the fields, producing crops. So for Pharaoh to leave them alone to go serve God, he would have to say, I'm not a God. And he'd have to allow the whole economy that was underneath him to be destroyed, to be hindered, to be hurt. But if he would have done it, then they could have had faith from God to still make it. A nation was brought to its knees because they would not allow God's people to serve them. If you think about the U.S., we took prayer out of schools in 1962. Abortion clinics were made rampant in Roe versus Wade in 1973. Glory to God, that's been overturned. Ten Commandments used to be posted in schools. A lot of that changed in 1980. And then if you look at the extreme debt of our nation since these things, my, the nation has gotten financially in problems. But the word also says, if my people will humble themselves, I will heal their lands. If we humble ourselves and pray, God can bring our nation up. He can bring it out. And if you're in another nation, God can do the same for you. If His people, doesn't say if every person, if His people will humble themselves. Don't give up. Keep praying. Keep standing. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody, you and I are already serving somebody, something. Are you serving the Most High God? Well, that is critical in regards to whether or not you can overcome and escape temptations. We'll get into that. But let's look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. Whenever the Hebrews were finally released to go serve their God, one of the first things God did was He gave them the Ten Commandments. The top 10. You and I should know the top 10. Amen. What's the first one? The number one thing God said. The first thing. I'll read it to you. Exodus chapter 20 verse 1 says, "And God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." They were slaves. Amen. In verse 3, this is the first one. "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not serve any other gods. You shall serve Him and Him alone." That's the first commandment, to serve Him. Then all the rest of them fall in line with this. We're going to go ahead and go through them. Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. "You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth." Carved image. I do not have a picture of a man-made picture of Jesus. Don't have a carved image. I don't have any of that in my house. People have given me pictures of Jesus. How do you know what He looked like? We don't. But the Word says, "You shall not make yourself a carved image and likeness of anything." Verse 5, the third commandment. "You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generations of those who hate me." God is a jealous God. Now, I've heard people say, well, the Word contradicts itself, because why is it that God can be a jealous God, but jealousy is wrong? First of all, they don't have light and revelation of the Word. There are two different words in Hebrew and in Greek for jealousy. We'll get into that in another series, but I'll teach on jealousy, envy, competitive strife. But this is in regards to us being the bride of Christ. You know, any man, if he sees his spouse committing adultery, flirting with somebody else, it should bother them. We are the bride of Christ, bought and paid for by Jesus going to the pits of hell. We are the children of the Most High God. He has a right to be bothered if we're serving somebody else, if we're serving his enemy that was a traitor. Amen. Hallelujah. If we are his children, his bride, and we have an affair, it's only logical and right to be upset, for him to be upset for us breaking covenant. And any of you who are married, you would be upset if your spouse broke covenant. That's what he's talking about here. Don't break covenant. Stay with me. Serve me. You are my bride, the bride of Christ. Amen. Real love does not share intimacy. Adultery is wrong. That's what it's talking about. People with wives swapping. It's ungodly, evil stuff. Verse 6, "But showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments." Verse 7, this is the fourth commandment. "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." That's pretty serious, to take his name in vain. People say the D word, D-A-M-N, God, and then they cuss. They use his name in vain. They curse something. That word D-A-M-N, I'm not cussing, but the word damn means doomed for destruction. Don't speak that over things. People say that over their lawnmowers, their cars, over people. Don't do that. You don't want them to be in destruction. You don't want to speak death into your equipment. Speak life into it with faith. Amen? Let's continue on. Glory to God. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. Verse 12, this is the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. The first five commandments deal with honoring God and things of God. If you break it down, look at it. It's how to honor him, not taking his name in vain, not bowing down to other gods, serving other gods. The first five have to do with honoring God in the things of God. The second five deal with relationships that you and I have on earth. All deal with stealing, and I'll explain that. Stealing a life, stealing a spouse, stealing people from having justice, stealing people from having opportunities taken from them. Anything that's not yours that you try to prevent from somebody else from having because stealing their opportunity. Verse 13, you shall not murder. That's stealing their life. You shall not commit adultery. That's stealing a covenant between a man and a woman. Verse 15, the eighth commandment, you shall not steal. Stealing again. Verse 16 is the ninth commandment. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. If you lie to a boss about somebody, you're stealing and robbing them of an opportunity, of the truth. Verse 17, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. It's trying to be jealous, envious of what they've got, to try to get that covet. Get it at all cost. Envy is the nature of Satan. It means to burn and feel pain with aggravation at the prosperity of others. It will deprive others if you cannot have it. It's like saying, if I can't have her, no man will. Jealousy desires what others have. It wants the same and it's willing to take it wrongly. Coveting, that's a form of adultery. You may be wondering how this applies to a series about escaping temptation. Stay tuned. We must establish whom we are to serve. We're to serve God and only God. Satan will tempt us to sin, to serve him and our flesh. We must understand his tactics, and we must understand the word and how to get out by utilizing the word. And being wise. Amen. We need to know what is sin. If we don't even know what it is and aren't willing to call it sin, we aren't going to resist it. Satan desires us to believe that there is no devil. Hence, we won't resist him if we don't even believe he's real. Satan desires for us to believe in our own truth. There is no truth. Each person has their own truth. That is a lie. It's either truth. God is truth. Jesus is truth. It's the spirit of truth, the word of truth. If it doesn't line up with the word, it's a lie. Amen? Lies, deception. Glory to God. And then we can get into how to overcome temptation and the way out. This series is going to be a few messages long to cover it. Believers are more than conquerors. Amen. Have you ever met believers that keep falling and falling back into something? Maybe you. They wake up, they repent, and a couple weeks later, they fall back into it. Satan will try to get you. If you've been not drinking for 10 years, a lot of people, their God is alcohol. You may have gotten that out of your life, but 10 years later, you think it's out of it, you've got a problem, and an old boyfriend, an old girlfriend shows up. Hey, it's Saturday night. Let's go have a drinking party. and you've had a bad day, a long week, and you just want to be around somebody. It's a setup. Don't fall into it. Amen. Glory to God. If you think you don't know somebody that's had challenges of sinning and falling back into it, just look in the mirror and you'll find somebody right in front of you. We all have flesh and we all must deal with the flesh. Amen. When we were saved, our spirit was born again, but not our flesh. The flesh has been trained to live with the way the flesh wants, ruled by fleshly and mental desires. We must have a mind renewal and control our flesh, beat our flesh into submission according to 1 Corinthians 9:27, so that we walk in the Word. Amen? We're going to get into this. If you're one of those people that feel like you failed it 300 times, 3,000 times, and you can't overcome it, you can. Amen? Stay tuned in this series. Remember, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. 1 John 5:4. I love you. I believe that this series is going to help some people come up and out of challenges, attacks of the enemy. Amen. Well, this is Mike Kennedy with Living in Victory. Have a blessed day.
Hi, this is Shara Canaday, and I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. Due to the goodness of God and the graciousness of our partners, we're happy to inform you that you can download our products free of charge from our website. If you would like to become a partner, receive a newsletter, or find out more about Final Quest Ministries, feel free to contact us at www.fqmin.org. We'll see you next week.
We're living in the dream.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information or to learn more about Final Quest Ministries, please visit our website at mikecanaday.org. Also, please like and follow us on social media for updates and podcasts. We pray today has blessed you.